worthy to be praised, worthy of all glory, worthy of all honor. Amen. I asked my wife and my daughter to join me in singing a little song this morning, and I don't know where she went. Oh, there she is. Piano, I guess. Thank God for this Father's Day. Yes. Wonderful to be a father. Bible says, though you have 10,000 instructors, but you don't have many fathers. So we pray God to bless us to be a true and a godly father. We're singing this morning about a father. My heavenly Father, He watches over each of us day by day. Trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the stormy sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountain peak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the rose an object of His care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air, and surely He remembers me. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountain peak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountain peak or on the rolling sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over. In God, for in the lion's den, on back.
battlefield or on the prison pen, through praise or blame, through flood or fame, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountain peak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me.
It's wonderful to know that God is watching over us even while we slumber and sleep. But He never slumbers. He never sleeps. His eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their prayers. Aren't you glad of that today?
Amen.
God is always, hallelujah. God is always there.
Praise God.
Others might leave you, might forsake you, but God, say, I'll be with you always. Always is a mighty long time. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So it's a blessing to have a father like that. Praise God. Amen. We say greetings to each father and those that one day will be fathers. Greetings. We hope that God will be with each of us. Now, we're not going to be before you too long. Our thought for today is our Father. Now, God is the Father of all by virtue of His creation. Both man and woman, He's the Father of us all. But only those that have been born again, those that have been regenerated, and been adopted into the royal family, can they truly say, God our Father. Only we that have been adopted into the royal family of God and been born of the water and of the Spirit, can we really say, Abba, Father. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our lives, crying, what? Abba, Father. Praise God. It's wonderful to know that He's a dear Father. Many times we natural fathers don't treat us as we would to be treated. But yet, God is a God that is a gracious God, one that loves us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our faults, our failures. He loves us unconditionally. And I'm glad of that today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that brings us into fellowship. For God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our transgressions, but have committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And we are reconciled where Jesus was made sin for us. Hallelujah. We might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Let us say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to know that God loves us all. We're going to talk briefly on, we know that God is God that created all things. Through Him all things were made that was made. And yet, He desires mankind, as well as our sisters, to have fellowship with Him. to come to him, no matter what our trials, our tests might be, bring them to Jesus, because he's willing, ready, and able to do more than we can even ask or even think. I was thinking about the scripture here in Romans 8, 14 and 15. If you don't mind, we'll do a little reading on today. And also Galatians 4, 6. Here in Romans 8, 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. First of all, he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, not will be, but they are the sons of God. There's another scripture come to my mind. It says, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world don't know you because they didn't know him. Wonderful to know that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, we think of the fatherhood of God. For someone to claim to be a father, there must be more or less some offsprings, some begetting. And you read the Old Testament, you see where there was a loss of begettings. Apostle Abraham, Abraham and many of the other patriarchs, God blessed them to bring forth sons and daughters. And they were, Abraham is called the father of the faithful. God said, in thee shall all seed of families of the earth be blessed. So God, to be God or be a father, he has sons and he has daughters. Bible says, Jesus, though he was the son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, when you think of a son, you think of one that is shows reverence to his father, one that more or less honors his father. He doesn't overlook or run by or misuse or mistreat his father like the father of the son, but yet he honors his father. Now, God is God of all creation, as we said earlier. But to be called son of God, we must learn to reverence him. We must learn to obey him. Even though Jesus was God's only begotten son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, many times we don't like to suffer, but if you don't suffer, the Bible says you won't range. If you want to range with God, you have to be willing to go through some things. Praise God. Now, I was thinking about Romans, this verse here, the 15th verse. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, himself, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Some versions say the sons of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Being willing to become a true son of God, willing to let him be God in each of our lives, being submissive, being obedient, being humble. For God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace to who? The humble. So we cannot truly be God's sons unless we have that humble spirit, unless we have that spirit of praising and worshiping and glorifying and magnifying God our Father. Bible said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's God all by himself, but he needs his children to worship him, to worship and to glorify him. Because I believe it was David said in the 103rd Psalms, I will bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God is good. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is kind. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He don't want us all to be saved. He don't want us to be, hell was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for you and I. Praise God. So God wants us to be saved. He wants us to live with him throughout eternal ages. And that's what we're here for. Getting ready. Preparing. Paul's writer said, one thing I will do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this, prepare to meet thy God. So he tells us here in this verse, we adopted. Adoption. Let's go to Galatians 4 and 6. It says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We all consider ourselves children of Abraham by faith. But the greatest father that ever was and ever will be is Jesus, is God's Father. Jesus, the Son of the living God. We're going to get going here briefly if you hold on. Now, we spoke about the sonship of God. Our text is found in Matthew 6 and 9. And we'll go there briefly. And this particular chapter starts off with three things that God required of Israel. And they are required of us also. One was the giving of alms. They were to give alms to the poor. They were to reach out beyond their own little world, help those that were in need. For the Bible says, if we say we love God and don't render aid to our brothers or those that are in need, how can we say that we truly love God? Now, then he said that there were those that were giving alms, but they were giving it to be seen. Giving it that men might praise them. And Jesus let them know that if you do it for that reason, you have your reward. That's all you're going to get. There will be no other reward for you when you do this for to be seen of men. Then he let us know that we are not to let our left hand know what our right hand does. In other words, we don't do things to be seen of men. Then he spoke about prayer in this chapter. He said, when you pray in into your closet, or your secret closet, when you shut the door, pray to your Father who seeth in secret, and he will reward you openly. Many times during the old economy, many times the Pharisees, many of them, they just prayed to be seen or to be heard. Amen. They used vain repetitions, just like back in the Old Testament when Elijah called Israel to come and gave Balaam the opportunity to people, prophets of Balaam, to call upon their God. And they did from morning to night, using vain repetitions. But they didn't get anywhere because Baal is a dead god. You say the god of the idols of the people, they have hands, but they feel not, have eyes, but they see not, have ears, but they don't hear anything. But we're going to talk about one that does hear, one that does answer a prayer. Our Father, Jesus had to distinguish between the Pharisees. In John 8:44, they were saying that our Abraham is our father. We are seed of Abraham. But Jesus let them know that you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. God is really not your father because you're serving, you're not serving him. You're not worshiping him. You're not glorifying him. Your eyes and your desires are to someone that's not able to save you or to deliver you or to set you free. So he let them know that there's another father. That is the devil. Devil he has his own following, has his own disciples, own people worshiping him. But one thing about it, God that we serve is the true and living God. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need anyone else. He's the creator and the sustainer of all life. He giveth life and he taketh life because he's the creator of all life. Praise his name. Hallelujah. And as we go further, these three things that Israel were required to do, they were required to give alms, to reach out to the poor. They were required to pray. But Jesus said men ought to always pray and not faint. Then there were many of them, they were required, that had a custom of fasting. Many times they disfigured themselves. They wanted to be seen as those that were fasting. They were not really doing it to the glory of God. They were not doing it for God to be glorified, but they were doing it for the praise of men. When you do things for the applause of man, you're getting all that you're going to get. But when you do it to the glory of God, God will always bless you. And see you through. Now we're taking up there in the 6th, 8th chapter of Matthew. In the 8th chapter, be not therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth the things ye have need of before you asked. Aren't you glad of that? But he tells us, gives us the privilege of asking. He said, ask, and what will happen? Shall receive. Knock, and the door will be open. Seek, and ye shall find. That shall means assurance. Then he went on to say here, after this manner, therefore, not as the Pharisees doing, not as the scribes are doing, but after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father. Our Father. Now, when we say our, is that just one? That includes more than one. Now, we spoke about sonship. Now, we all are sons of God if we are led by the Spirit of God. Then we go to brotherhood. Now, God has sons and he has daughters. Then he has we as brothers, by one Spirit, are we all baptized into the one body. Now, we are brethren, whether we here or whether they're across the sea, no matter where they are, we should pray one for the other. We should remember our brothers overseas, brothers everywhere, because by virtue of our believing in the same God, we are brothers in the Lord. And you can't get no closer to someone than to be their brother, real brother, because a brother sticketh closer than, how did that scripture go? Trying to get away from you. A friend sticketh closer than a brother, and a brother loveth at all times. Yes. So we as brothers in Christ, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a common bond there that holds us, binds us together. Someone sung the old song, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." That love that God has shed abroad in our hearts. But the Bible said God so loved the world. He loved the mankind. He didn't love the world systems, because world systems is built upon greed, upon hatred, upon blind ambition. But God's love, it goes beyond these material things. That's why I said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So he tells us, love holds us together. Love is like mortar on a building. It holds things together. And when that love or when that mortar deteriorates, many times the building falls down. So when we allow love in our hearts, the Bible spoke about Ephesians there. Say they that one thing about them, it says that they left their first love. And that's the bad thing, to leave the love that God started you off with. Love drew you. Love brought you to Christ. It's not out of fear, not out of dread. But we love him, we serve him, we worship him because we love him. Praise God. Do you love him today? Praise God. Our Father. Our Father. Sent forth by the Spirit of God, sent forth into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Loving you, Father. Many times we use that word as dad or whatever, but you can't get no closer to God than to acknowledge him as your Father. He's one that sticks closer, that's with you always. There's a scripture there in Malachi 2:10. I'd like to get that real quick. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother? By profaning the covenant of our fathers. In Isaiah he speaks, have not one God created us all? Do we not all have the same Father? Then he said, out of one blood created he all nations to dwell upon the face of the earth. We all are here, and we are acknowledging God, the true and living God, as our Father. Now, we must address ourselves to him as our Father, and must call him so. He is a common Father, as we said, to all mankind by creation. He is in special manner a father to the saints by adoption and regeneration. And an unspeakable privilege it is Thus, we must eye him in prayer, keep up good thoughts of him, such as encouraging and not affrighting, nothing more pleasing to God, not pleasing to ourselves, than to call God Father. Praise God. Now, he spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. Then he said, how now shall he not with him freely give us all things? He has provided all things pertaining to godliness. All things that we need is ours through Christ Jesus. Our Father, where are you? Our Father who is in heaven. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. God is everywhere. We can't confine him to heaven because he's everywhere. He's created. He's created. He's the creation. He's the creator of all. And he is filling all times, all places. I believe David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are right there. So there's nowhere to get go away from God. So our Father, which art in heaven, then he said, hallowed be thy name. Holy and reverent is his name. His name is above every name. At his name every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Oh, praise his name. Then he let us know that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. He's the only one. He's the one that we trust. He's the one that we look to because he's all by himself. Holy and reverent is his name. Praise God. Hallowed. When you get down to pray, now this Lord's Prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, is not confined to our only prayer. It's a model prayer. It's a prayer that we can model our prayers by. So first of all, we acknowledge our Father. Then we realize where he is. Not only where he is, but he lets us know holy and reverent is his name. Praise God. Then he went on to give it's the opportunity to make known our petitions unto him. Many times, when we get ready to pray, all we can do is beg, petition God. Do this for me, Lord. If you do this for me, I'll be satisfied, but we're never satisfied. So we continually asking God to do this and do the other. But it's a wonderful thing sometimes. Just get down on your knees and just thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his presence. Thank God for food and shelter. Thank God for raiments. Thank God for my brother. Thank God for my sister. Praise God. So just thank him sometime. Amen. Then he asked, told him, say, thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God is not meat and it's not drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And one day God's kingdom is going to come. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth. Praise God, all things going to pass away. Behold, all things going to be made anew. Aren't you glad of that today? Hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name. Thy kingdom come. Not only that, Lord, but let your will be done. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane there, when he went to pray, he prayed to his Father. He called him, Abba, Father. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Praise God. Nevertheless, not my will. Have you said that to God lately? Have you said that to him? Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, I submit my will to yours. Let my will be lost in thine. Let thy will be done every day, in every way. Praise God. Thy will, Lord. Thy will. Now, don't be like Balaam. God told Balaam, Balaam thought the Lord that whether he should go down and curse Israel. God told him no. But what happened? Balaam came again. Then he came again. God said, go. But don't forget who you're representing. Go. God has a permissive will. He permits us to do certain things. Not that he desires us to really do it. He doesn't, it's not his divine will. It's his, he just allows us to do. And when we get to that point and have problems, we want to know why. But it's because we have stepped out of the will of God. We're walking in our own way, walking in our own desires, and God is not glorified therein. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor, do I have a few more minutes? Then he said, give us this day. I'm going to go through this briefly. Give us this day our daily bread. David said, I was young. And I too can say that. I was young. Now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor his seed begging bread. Praise God, God will provide your need. Hallelujah. God will meet your every need. David said, but my God. Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need. According to whose riches? According to his riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. About food, shelter, raiments. For my God, I say my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his. Hallelujah. Give us this. Thank you, Jesus. Give us this day. Day by day. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. For sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. For God has promised one day at a time. Do you think that's long enough? That's enough? One day at a time? Hallelujah. God will take care of tomorrow. You don't have to worry. Oh, glory. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Give us this day. Day by day, give us this day our daily bread. Then he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then he went on to say, if you don't forgive those that trespass against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So if you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive. Someone say, I forgive you, but I'm going to hold on, meet you with a long-handled spoon. I'm not going to get close to you anymore. Feed you with a long-handled spoon. But if you forgive, it's just like nothing has ever happened there. That's what God said. He cast our sins in the sea. Of forgetfulness. He don't remember them no more. Praise God. Many times when someone do us wrong, what do? We kind of avoid them. You see them coming, we take a different route. We move different way. Praise God. But I can see when you have truly forgiven someone, I can see you coming, and I'll meet you and greet you in the name of the Lord. Because I've forgiven you. When someone, you don't forgive someone, they're standing between you and God. And God won't forgive you because you have not forgiven your brother or your sister. So Peter said, Lord, now, how many times? How many times am I to do this? How many times am I to forgive my brother or my sister? But Jesus said, he said it's 70 times 7. In other words, as long as he keep coming, seeking forgiveness, what are you to do? You're to forgive. You just can't hold it against him. Praise God. Let's move on. And lead us not into temptation. Now, the Bible tells us when you're tempted, don't say God tempt you. But God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. God doesn't tempt you. But say when you're tempted, you're drawn away after your own lust. Lust, when it is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, it brings forth what? Death. Temptation, God doesn't tempt you. We used to sing a song a long time, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passion subdue. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Amen. Praise God. Yield not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Someone said from the evil one, the devil. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You give him, someone say, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You don't give place to the devil. The Bible said don't give place to the devil. Don't allow him to get into your thoughts, into your mind. Because he'll get in there and then he'll have you looking funny at your brother. Looking funny at your sister. But the Bible let us know that we are to love one another. Then he said, for thine, as we close. Thine. Whose is it? Thine is the kingdom. Oh, praise his name. Thine is the kingdom. Kingdom must have a king. King must have a dominion. Jesus one day is going to come to the earth again. Going to set up his kingdom right down here. Oh, praise his name. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be in that kingdom? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's what I'm living for. Yes. What we're living for. Be there. When he come together, the precious jewels, precious fruit of the earth, coming after his own, when the father tell him, son, it's time to go get your church. It's time to go bring them home. Jesus said, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. See, I go. Thank God he's gone. But he's coming back. I say he's coming back again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'll go, I'll come again and receive you, 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 and you, unto myself, that where I am, don't you want to be where? Don't you be where he is? There ye shall be also. Hallelujah. What a blessed hope that we as the church of God have. Praise God. That's why he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, where? In this present world, looking for and hastening to the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise his name. Praise, hallelujah. One day, I say one day, He's going to break the clouds. Hallelujah. He's going to come after his own. He's coming after church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming after blood-bought people, those that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's coming again. I say he's coming again. He's coming again. Be ready. I say be ready when he comes. Have your garments spotless. Having your garments spotless and whiter than snow. Because he's coming after blood-bought people. Those that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father. Our Father. I say our Father. Oh, praise his name. Our Father is coming. He's coming again. He's going to send his Son to gather us home again. Oh, praise his name. I'm going to close. I could go on, but oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father. Say with me, our Father. Hallelujah. He's your Father. He's my Father. He's the Father of all the blood-bought believers, all those that have come to him and accepted him as their Lord and as their Savior. And we can say truly, he's our Father. Praise God. He's our Father. Praise God. God bless you.
Thank you.
Praise God. God bless you.
Let's give God a big praise for our brother Rufus.